Hey everybody, Raul here for Bass Musician Magazine, and today we have the extraordinary honor of catching up a little more in depth with none other than Suzy Cuatro. Yay! So, Suzy, we're very excited to be chatting at this time. We're talking just as face-to-face. This new album with KT Tunstall is releasing August 11th, 2023. People, if you want to know a little more in depth about that album, we have that video available. You've probably seen it by now. Hopefully you've been listening to the music and enjoying it. But I'm sure a lot of you were left wanting more of Suzy. I know I was. So we'd like to dive all the way to the past. How did you get started in music, and particularly on bass?
Well, I born into a musical family of five children. I started, and we all play at least three instruments. That's not even bragging. We just do. Okay. My dad was a musician all his life. I started on bongo drums, and I used to play with my father at the age of seven. He'd let me go out in front and play a few songs. He used to give me 25 cents to stop. And I went to classical piano. I took that for maybe 8 or 9 years. Mm-hmm. And then I was in the percussion section. And I can read and write piano, classical piano I took. And I can read and write percussion. And I was first chair in the school orchestra, which means on the rudiments, I did the best. Then, like I said, musical family. At 14, me and my sister started a band. And all the girls took an instrument. And I didn't speak up quick enough. And my sister, the older one, who was starting the band, she said, "You're playing bass." And I didn't care. I said, fine. And anyway, I'm bass orientated because percussion is percussion.
Exactly.
And piano is a percussive instrument. And bass is the note of the bass drum. That's what I always say. So it was very natural to me. And I love to tell this part because I think musicians would like to tar and feather me when I say this. My first bass that I was given by my dad at the age of 1957 Fender Precision.
Ooh. Gold
scratch plate, sunburst finish, striped on the back of the neck, and a basement amp, and that tweed colored bass. Is that disgusting? It's disgusting. When you hear what other people got for their first instruments, I had, it was like giving a 16-year-old a Rolls Royce for their first car.
Absolutely.
And I didn't know that there was a choice of basses because I didn't know anything about it. This is what I was given. So I didn't know there were smaller necks, thinner necks, lighter basses. I had no idea. So this is what I learned. The hardest bass to play. The hardest. Had no idea I was doing it though.
Well, and a lot of times when you've started there, it certainly, it's kind of like when baseball players put weights on their bats. You get used to the harder. Everything else is gravy after that.
It is, and I remember I went to a lighter bass for, and I just went, ugh. I went to a shorter scale neck, I went, ugh. Yeah. Everything I tried, this is my baby, this is what I do. And I can't figure it out, because I'm only 5'2". And for some reason, I don't know why, that big, heavy bass just sits comfortably on me. I don't know why. Yeah. I've got very good posture, I'm straight up, you know,
yeah.
Very strong back, and I've got good, strong arms. I was always a swimmer, but the weight never bothers me. I don't know why.
Wow. So in addition to all the school bands and all that stuff, did you follow any additional training, or are you pretty much kind of took it from there?
I'm self-taught on bass. Okay. And I'm trained on piano and percussion. One thing in my favor, I never went from guitar to bass as a failed guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
Big thing with me. Big thing with me. When I see a bass player playing with a pick, I say to them, "You started on guitar," and 99% of the time, I'm correct. So I started like that with my fingers, you know? Yeah, so I'm self-taught on bass, and of course I can read because I read piano.
Sure.
But I'm self-taught. I read percussion, I read piano. But it was my instrument from day one. A lot of people who know me well, they say to me, other musicians, it's been said many times, "You were born with a bass in your hands." Because it's natural. If you see me play, it's just an extension, isn't it? Yeah.
There you go. Well, and one of the key things also, if we look at the time when you were doing this, you were unique. You were a pioneer, being a woman playing bass at a time where it was a rarity at best.
It wasn't done.
Exactly.
I didn't have a role model. I didn't have a role model, but I never thought of myself as doing what I was doing. I didn't have an agenda. Mm-hmm. And I didn't put thought to that, like, hey, I'm a female and I'm different. I just didn't go that route.
Sure.
I'm playing my bass. That's it. Done. And it wasn't until, I have to jump ahead a little bit, it wasn't until I went to the 2019 premiere of my documentary, which came out that year, Susie Q. It's now available on the net. It went to the top of the Amazon charts, very successful. And I went to the premiere and I watched the first time the documentary with an audience. Snuck in the corner there so nobody would know I was there, because I was supposed to come up for the Q&A, but I wanted to feel it with the audience.
Sure.
And I have to tell you, this is for a reason. All these females came on one after the other, you know, all during the film. I'm trying to think of them all. Debbie Harry, Chrissy Hynde, Cherie Curry, Joan Jett, Donita Sparks, Lita Ford, oh my God, Tina Weymouth. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. Anyway, at different points in the documentary, as I'm watching, they all, if I paraphrase, they all said the same thing. We would not have done what we did had it not been for Susie Quattro doing what she did. And I just started to cry because I honestly didn't know it. And at that point, at the age of however old I was, I'm 73 and I said that would have been 70, 71, I kind of went, for the first time ever, I went, oh, I did that. So isn't that nice? That I didn't have the agenda, and I will take that to my grave, and I humbly accept it because I know I didn't have a role model, but boy, it shocked me when I realized that I'd been this to so many women, you know? Wow.
Yeah. Well, you were in a unique position because at the time, of course, you got a prominent place of visibility as Leather Tuscadero, and I believe, maybe 5 episodes in Happy Days?
I think I did 7 or 9 altogether. It was over 3 seasons.
Gotcha.
3 seasons, yeah.
But still, it was that visibility and people going, hey, wait a second. That, I could do that. You know, that's really cool. And in addition to that, it was just like the peak. It was just enough. It kind of the taste because you did so many other things. And that's, again, you do so many other things more than this. But it was that view, that little window into what can possibly be, that I think many players, and again, a lot of female players, would look at and go, hey, this is a possibility.
Yeah, that did happen. You know, I started having my hits in 73 all around the world, big, big million sellers. And then I started to tour America back home with my English band in 74. So I did a lot of tours, sold a lot of albums. I didn't have as many hit singles there, but they certainly knew of me. And then, like you say, Happy Days came along, and there I was, and it became a household name then. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that did, in America only, because everywhere else I was already having all these million sellers. But in America, I think that cemented it for them. And they knew I was a real rock and roller. They knew I wasn't just an actress, you know?
Exactly.
And they put the two together, and then it became almost acceptable.
Indeed.
I was ahead of my time when I first started the tour there in 74, ahead of my time. America was not ready to accept that yet.
Well, it has been a male-dominated business, and so every female bassist that I've spoken to, you know, has, again, their stories of, but it's pioneers like yourself that gave them kind of, again, wind under their wings to kind of go, okay, yeah, I can do this. You know, somebody's done it, I can do it too.
I called after that experience at the premiere, and I love telling this story because it still makes me laugh. I called my good friend, Cherie Curry. And she used to be the lead singer for the Runaways. And I called up the next day and I told her what had happened at the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Cherie, I said, I just realized something. She said, what? I said that by me doing what I did, I gave permission to women all over the world to be different. And there was a long pause and she went, and you just got that? One of my favorite comment. It was that comic timing, you know, and I went, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's like, you idiot, you know, but it's nice. And my hindsight look at it is, if I had been any kind of a different person and maybe manufactured, maybe had a game plan, that would not have worked. It worked because you could see I was actually just being me.
Yeah.
This is what it was all about. Not pre-planned, not going, hey, I'm a girl, look what I can do. Not at all. Did you see that? And I've asked many, many, many musicians that question. when you saw me on Top of the Pops, did I look like a girl saying, I can do it? They said, no. I said, did I look like I was trying to be sexy? No. So this is why it worked. So it fell on my shoulders. And I got pretty good shoulders to carry.
Both the bass and all of this. Well, and among the many talents, again, you sing, you write songs, you have acted, you have radio, you do radio hosting. I mean, you've got many talents. And again, you've expanded. This is in your journey. You've kind of diversified in a way that you've got so many things kind of going on. And then, as we mentioned at the beginning, face-to-face, new release, just lovely album full of so much message, so much music, so much richness, and an exquisite mix. Because, again, I always, in the engineering of things, your bass speaks as loud as your voice does to me, and it comes through clearly. It hasn't been hidden or muddled or dumped under other layers of things. You're just going strong, which is just amazing.
First of all, everything that I do within this industry, it's the same instinct, and it's communication. That's what I'm all about. Be it playing the bass, singing a lyric, doing a radio show, writing a book. You know, I'm about to publish my 7th book.
Wow.
Two of them are poetry. It's what I do. Entertain, communicate, and create. Those are the three things that I do. And if I don't do those, I'm not happy. So that's why I do. But I do whatever this business allows me to do, as long as I can do it. I never try to do something I can't. I've got a pretty good feeling for what I can do. I knew I could write. I knew I could act. I always knew that. I knew I can write poetry. I've done that since a little girl. I love to say this, it's so pretentious. I'm nearly finished my 2nd novel.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to say that. It gives me a thrill. Well, I still have fire in my belly.
Yes.
Need in my heart. And as long as I have that, and I can go on stage and do what I do, and turn that audience around so they walk out with a smile, I'm never going to stop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would be remiss. You mentioned that lovely Fender that you started with, but instrument and gear wise, how are you getting your sound nowadays?
Okay. I have a little trick I use. When I rehearse here at the house, I play my Fender Precision always. Then when I go on stage, I play the Fender Jazz. So I've rehearsed up on the hardest neck. You know, and then when I go to the jazz, it's just a little slightly easier so that you can flick around a little bit quicker. And I do a 5.5-minute serious solo on stage. You have to Google it when you get a chance. Anything from Vienna 2023 Susie Quattro bass solo, it'll blow your mind. It is the most physically challenging, exhausting thing you're ever going to hear. Wow. So I was asked, that, like I said, there's a 1979 concert in Prague that was televised. And on that night where I did my infamous 5.5-minute long bass solo, I nailed it. So if ever I have a bad gig, I say, go on the internet and look at that. But anyway, through the years, people have said numerous times, and lately in the past couple of years, hundreds of times, my son said, why aren't you doing that solo? My husband said to me, he was the golden ticket. He said, why aren't you doing that 1979 bass solo? And I go, oh, you probably can't play like that anymore. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And then my son said it too. And then the last final straw was my drummer in my band came up and said, why aren't we doing that solo? I said, that's it. So I put it back on the set. And it's now and then. You can Google live bass solo 2023. You'll see it. My son said, when I listened to that old TV show, they just cranked the amps up so that they distorted. He said, that's hard to do nowadays. But what you can get now is a Roland bass distortion pedal. And so I'm up there like Jimi Hendrix, you know, I'm up. So, wow, it's exciting. You just switch that on just for the solo. It just gives it that little Spinal Tap, that little push over the edge.
There you go.
But it's fantastic. And the first time I reintroduced it was back in Prague this year. I said 79 to 2023, you work it out. I said, you saw this on TV. I said, I'm doing it again tonight. And after we did it, after the show, the drummer came up and he said, that was the most challenging, exciting musical moment of my life.
Wow.
Because it's bass and drums, and it is orchestrated. And my ex-husband was talking to his son, who produced Face to Face and my last two studio albums and my Uncovered album too. And they were watching it the other day at the house on his YouTube thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is my old guitar player and my ex-husband. And he said to his son, he said, Richard, you can give that bass solo to any bass player, and I guarantee you, they won't be able to do it.
Wow.
Wow, what a compliment. Wow. But it is exhausting. It is, you have to be, it goes through all the time changes and very fast, you know, and it's just, it's brilliant. I love doing it. So anyway, I got off the thing, but that's what I use now on stage. I have Orange amps now.
Okay.
That I use. And
got you. Do you have a preference in strings at all?
Flat wound, Rotosound.
Nice. Nice.
And in fact, they sponsor me. If you go onto their website, I've done ads for them and everything, so.
Very, very cool. Well, and is there any other elements that you're using? It sounds like it's a pretty straightforward setup as far as your gear and how you're getting your sound.
I don't do fancy on bass because just for the bass solo, and that's a different thing. You know, you're isolated. It's the bass and the drums, and you're up front showing off.
Yeah.
But other than that, I like, I say it when I introduce the band members. I say, meet the drummer, the bass player's best friend. And the two most important instruments in the band are the bass and the drums. And everybody always goes, ho, ho, ho. And I said, but I'll tell you why. It's because you can't drive a car without an engine, and we are the engine. That's the truth. If you haven't got the bass and drums, you've got diddly shit.
Yep.
Absolute truth. It sets the tone for everything.
Indeed, indeed. So as we're speaking, Face to Face will have been released. What plans do you have for the future? What's in the works?
I've got a big, big tour of the UK coming up, five big shows to celebrate 50 years since Can the Can was number one. I'm now working on my next album, which I believe will probably be me and famous friends, so I have to find out who wants to do something with me. Like I said, I'm working on my second novel. I got my 38th tour of Australia coming up in 2024. 38 tours of Australia, that's nuts.
Wow.
Just working. I know Sun has an option on another album with me and KT, so you know, we're looking at that too. But my son and I are working together. Like I say, we're two albums in, No Control and The Devil and Me, and Uncovered, and he's produced Face to Face. So we co-write, and he plays guitar as well. So I'm busy. I'm not ready to stop, not by a long shot.
Absolutely. Well, and if nothing else, this should make people feel guilty if they're not doing more, because there's plenty to get done. So, wow. And if people want to find out more about any of these things you're doing, SusieQuatro.com, good place to look.
Yeah. www.susiequatro.com. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. There's an official Facebook site, Twitter, everything. I got everything going.
Wow.
I do it on social media. And in fact, in the pandemic, you can still get these. I did 62 bass lines, masterclass bass lines, you know, showing everybody. And I let them choose what songs they wanted to hear, and I would show them how I played it. And that was good. That was really good. I might do that again.
Nice. Well, Susie, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to share all this information. Very excited about Face to Face. And of course, people, if Susie's going to be in a place near you, lucky Australians, they get a chance to see you again. Make sure you get out there and support live music, as important as always. Folks, you've seen her here, Susie Quatro, coming to you on Bass Musician Magazine.